Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Opponents of Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump attacked and injured several police officers and damaged a building during a campaign event in New Mexico. Protesters threw rocks, plastic bottles, and other items at police officers outside the convention center in Albuquerque. The police returned with pepper spray and smoke grenades. Police said several officers were injured and at least one person was arrested on Tuesday evening. Trump was interrupted many times during his speech inside the convention center. Protesters shouted at him and held signs criticizing him. Thousands of Trump supporters applauded loudly when he insulted the protesters and told security officers to remove them. Doug Antoon is an attorney in Albuquerque. He said, "Rocks smashed the convention center's windows as he was leaving the event." He said, "This was not a protest. This was a riot." He said the protesters were members of hate groups. It was the first campaign event for Trump in New Mexico, a state with many Hispanic residents. New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez is the head of the Republican Governors Association. She is the only Latina governor in the nation. She has strongly criticized Trump's statements about illegal immigrants. And she has attacked his plan to build a large wall along the border with Mexico. She has visited Mexico to try to increase trade between the country and her state. During his speech, Trump noted that the state has many economic problems, including an increase in the number of people who need government aid to buy food. "We have to get your governor to get going. She's got to do a better job, okay? Hey, maybe I'll run for governor of New Mexico. I'll get this place going," he said. Michael Lonergan is a spokesman for the governor. He said Martinez supports changing the state's welfare policies. And he said Trump's criticisms weren't about policy. They were about politics. And the governor will not be bullied into supporting a candidate until she is convinced that candidate will fight for New Mexicans. And she did not hear that today. Trump's supporters said they like his policies to increase security at the border with Mexico and to stop the number of people who are crossing the border without permission from the U.S. government. But some of them said they were frightened by the violent protest outside the gathering. Carla Molinar is a student at the University of New Mexico. She said she took part in protests to stop Trump's speech because she believed he was attacking members of her family who are living in the country illegally. She said she believes Trump is unfairly blaming them for the country's problems.
Learning a new language is not easy. But an Egyptian in Washington, D.C., says he knows how to make it less difficult. Tamer El-Sharkawi teaches Arabic to children. He says that the magic key to teaching language is culture. El-Sharkawi came to Washington through the State Department's Teachers of Critical Languages program. The program brings teachers from China and Egypt to the United States. One of the goals of the program is to help American students learn Chinese and Arabic. The program helps the teachers and students learn about the cultures of other countries. El-Sharkawi says learning languages helps students learn more about the world.
Some parents reached out with me to because they wanted to know how to deal with their children here in Washington, D.C., about this kind of stuff like the Islamophobia. How can they are not Muslims, but they want to teach their children something correct about this topic. So this is the other part that we are doing.
Spanish is the native language of many of El-Sharkawi's students at Cook Elementary School. So many of them are learning English and Arabic at the same time. Flora Lehrenman teaches English at Cook Elementary. She helped the school become a part of the Critical Languages program. She says learning two languages at the same time helps the children learn faster. And she says the children are learning more than just a new language.
I really believe in students having a global education and an international outlook.
El-Sharkawi says he is also learning about the world. He has explored the local Muslim community and the many cultures in Washington.
I think Washington, D.C. is like the most fantastic place for anyone from any nationality to be here. Lots of colors, lots of religions.
El-Sharkawi says he knows that the children at the school, some of whom are as young as 5 years old, might not remember all of the Arabic words he teaches them. He says they might even forget his name. But he says he hopes that they will always remember him as a teacher they liked and respected. I'm Katie Weaver.
Japan is struggling with its own economy as the country hosts the yearly meeting of the G7 industrialized nations. Japan has the world's third largest economy behind the U.S. and China. Many countries copied Japan when it had a strong and growing economy. Japan has been dealing with deflation for many years. Deflation is a decrease in the amount of available money or credit in an economy that causes prices to go down. Deflation can often cause a recession. The population in Japan is growing older, and the country is not diverse. Most people are ethnic Japanese. Last year, people in Japan criticized Miss Japan, Ariana Miyamoto, for not being Japanese enough. She has a Japanese mother and a Black American father. Many Japanese also do not support mass immigration, which other countries have used to make up for or balance the effects of a declining and aging population. Takuji Okubo is the managing director of Japan Macro Advisors.
He says Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe does not understand problems in the labor market or with pensions. He says the Prime Minister has been just unable to tackle any reforms. Many of Japan's public pension plans do not have enough money to make payments. This has caused many families to believe the plans will fail, so they save a lot of money. The average Japanese family has about $164,000 in savings. That is much higher than families in other developed countries. Young Japanese workers in their first jobs do not earn a lot of money, so they do not have much to spend. And people who are retired and have savings are worried about their monthly payments, so they are not spending money either. Manabu Goto operates a small 50-year-old food store in Tokyo. Goto has opened the store on weekends and added more products. He wants to attract more customers and convince them to spend more money. However, he says the policies of the Prime Minister have failed to get citizens to spend because people are uncertain about the future. So the government needs to try something else. Martin Schulz is a senior economist at the Fujitsu Research Institute. He says the Japanese market is shrinking overall. It makes it very difficult to get it moving again. This requires some major structural changes, and these take time. Among the needed changes, he says, are to open the economy, to change the structure of the farming industry, and to help Japanese companies invest in Southeast Asia. He says these changes will help the Japanese economy improve over a 10 to 15 year period. William Saito is an advisor for the Japanese cabinet. He says it's just confidence. If you look at the last 20 years, the economic fundamentals, the infrastructure, government politics, these things haven't actually changed. Shin Fukushige is a managing director for the technology company Seiko Wave. He says there has been a huge improvement in psychology in the past 10 years. But it is difficult for many Japanese who begin new businesses to convince workers to join their companies. Many of Japan's large companies were created many years ago. But many large and successful companies in the United States were created in the past 20 or 30 years, including Apple and Google. This has helped the American economy grow. Experts are asking how to help Japan's old and slow-moving economy grow. Some of them believe actions have already been taken that will show results in the years ahead. After the G7 meeting this week, many people will closely watch the actions of the Bank of Japan. The bank's leaders want people to wait a few more months for recent government measures to take effect. If these measures are not successful, the bank could take strong action. Some experts hope the bank will place fees on savings and force companies to sharply increase wages. However, the other G7 nations do not want Japan's government to lower the value of its currency, the yen. That would make the country's exported products less costly and could hurt the economies of other countries. I'm Mario Ritter.
The U.S. led a group of planes on airstrikes Tuesday against Islamic State positions in Raqqa, Syria. A British-based monitoring group, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, said the attacks targeted IS on the outskirts of the city. This could have been to avoid civilian casualties, although civilian deaths were reported. IS has declared Raqqa its capital in Syria. Political activists in Raqqa say Islamic State is using innocent people as human shields. They say IS places fighters and weapons in civilian housing. The reports come a day after a group of Syrian militias, backed by the U.S., moved against IS north of Raqqa. The Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces announced the move in a video posted online. The SDF are made up of at least 25,000 Syrian Kurds, as well as 5,000 to 6,000 Syrian Arabs. The new push against IS is on areas north of Raqqa, not the city, a senior commander for the U.S. allied group told VOA. The SDF commander said his troops were moving with tanks and other heavy weapons toward areas north of Raqqa. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights also reported intense fighting between SDF and IS forces around villages about 56 kilometers north of Raqqa. Colonel Steve Warren is a spokesman for the U.S.-led coalition fighting Islamic State. He said the coalition will support SDF, but U.S. Special Forces are giving assistance and advice, not fighters. U.S. officials have downplayed expectations that forces will be able to capture Raqqa anytime soon. A European diplomat told VOA the plan is to surround much of Raqqa and capture villages north, west, and south of the city. Hussam Issa, from Raqqa is being slaughtered silently, said most civilians have fled those towns for Raqqa. In Washington, U.S. Senator John McCain told VOA's Azerbaijani service that capturing Raqqa would be very difficult. It is going to take a very big and important effort. Islamic State will not go down easy, McCain said. They will fight to retain their territorial capital. I'm Brian Lynn.
This is What's Trending Today. Francie Lubbe of South Africa awoke one morning during her safari trip to an impressive sight. Two female lions were licking the outside of her tent. The lions were licking small drops of water left over from a rainstorm. Lubbe quickly began taking video of the wild animals. She posted the video on Facebook this week. People from around the world commented about how calm she and her friend in the tent remained when they saw the lions so close. People were also impressed that they decided to take a video. Lubbe was camping in a tent at a national park on the northern border of South Africa, near Botswana. The lions are the most famous creatures in the national park. They are called Kalahari lions. They get their name from their home, the Kalahari Desert. It covers parts of South Africa, Botswana, and Namibia. Female Kalahari lions weigh about 150 kilograms. Lube responded to the many comments about her video. She called the experience a privilege and very special. She said the cloth door of her tent was open, but the lions did not enter. Along with the 36-second video, she posted photos to her Facebook page of the lions exploring her camp. And that's what's trending today.
Last week, Google held a conference where the company announced what it has planned for the coming months. Google's 2016 I/O conference for software developers took place in Mountain View, California. The event was held just a short distance from Google's headquarters. This year, the company talked about combining mobile and search products with new services, other products, and application programs, better known as apps. Google Assistant is an example. Google Assistant is a service designed to help users get things done. It learns about you through your questions, as if you were talking to a person who knows you. Using advanced technology, Google Assistant can communicate as if it were a real person. For example, someone is standing in front of a sculpture and asks Google Assistant, "Who is the artist?" The service would know where the person asking the question was and what he or she was talking about, providing the name of the sculpture's artist as the answer. So the user can then say, "When was he born?" And Google Assistant would know the question relates to the artist named in the earlier answer. The service can also search a user's photographs and videos. The user can ask to search my photos for hugs. Google Assistant then provides all of the images of individuals hugging. The service will be offered on wireless devices, computers, televisions, cars, and in the home. Google Home is a new device that provides Google Assistant using your voice. Like Amazon's Hansi speaker Echo, Google Home can play music, perform searches, and help direct projects. Home has a speaker at the bottom to play music, podcasts, and audiobooks. The top is white, but the base will be available in different colors and materials. Users will be able to connect to Google Home in more than one place, so music can be played throughout the user's home. It can also connect to Chromecast, Google's video streaming device, so you can ask Google Home to show you something on TV. Home should be available in the next few months. Google is launching a new messaging app called Allo. The app uses your phone number, so it is easy to connect with your contacts. Within Allo, users can send text messages, photos, stickers, and emoji images. Allo lets users shout or talk softly, changing the size of the font, emoji, or sticker with a slider. Users can add photos and draw on photos within Allo. Google Assistant is available within Allo. Users can ask Google Assistant questions and get answers within the Allo app. For example, a user can ask, "When is my next appointment today?" and get the answer without leaving Allo. The new app comes with a feature called Smart Reply. Smart Reply learns how you speak and suggests answers based on what you would say. The more you use Allo, the better the suggestions should become. It can even suggest emojis and stickers if you are the kind of person who uses those. Smart Reply works with photographs, understanding what is in the photo. For example, you receive a photo of some tasty linguine with white clam sauce. The Smart Replies might say, "I love linguine." Google has found Smart Replies to be correct in interpreting photos 90% of the time. Duo is Google's new video chat app. Duo is similar to Apple's FaceTime, but available only as video and only on mobile devices. The new app will work across different devices, so an Android user can call an iPhone user, for example. Like Allo, Duo's operations are based on the user's phone number. Duo can adjust the quality of a video based on the strength of the internet signal. If the user has a weak internet connection, the video will adjust to a lower quality so the chat can continue. Duo will be available later this year on Android as well as iPhone and iPad. Google has signed up over 40 car makers to offer Android Auto, the infotainment system for automobiles. Over 100 models of cars offer Android Auto. Google expects this number to double by the end of the year. More than 100 apps are available on Android Auto. The service is available in 30 countries. However, not all apps are available in all countries. Google Assistant will be available on Android Auto. OK Google will be coming to Android Auto, so you can use your voice to start a search. The Google traffic app Waze soon will be available in Android Auto to provide real-time traffic and driving information. Google is also working on connecting phones wirelessly to Android Auto. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.